All right, everybody, welcome into Shock and Ship. He's DJ Shockley. I'm Wes Blankenship. It is officially a Georgia football game week. DJ, the Dogs already had a win this weekend, though. The Lady Soccer team beat South Carolina. So the Dogs are already off and running, man. That's a good omen for the football team, man.
And that just means everybody else is going to win. So that just makes sense to me, too. I mean, I don't know much about soccer, but I know it's a lot of running involved. I hope I can get more knowledgeable in soccer, but I tried it once and I was terrible at it. And somebody kicked me in my shin and I was done. So I didn't want any more soccer. But hey, man, ladies start off with a big win. That's a good start to the week for sure.
Yeah, Georgia sports are back. And today our guest, coming up a little bit later in the show, knows a lot about kicking. Rodrigo Blankenship, a former, former Sprayberry great. I believe he played soccer. I think he did. Obviously we know him for his accomplishments at Georgia. Now he's an NFL rookie, taking a job over, in Indianapolis, and he's off to a good start, and we'll talk to Hot Rod. But, first DJ, we gotta get started, man. This is the first episode. So I think we just need to kind of lay the foundation a little bit, let the people know what they can expect. And, I mean, everyone knows about your accomplishments at Georgia, playing in the NFL. And this week you are on the call for Georgia's opener at Arkansas. So what are your thoughts, man? What are you thinking as we go into the season? And it's been wild, to say the least, but we're here, and I'm grateful for that.
Man, I'm excited. You know, I've been calling games for ESPN and SEC Network last 2 years, and I've been wondering why I haven't gotten a Georgia game, even if it was Georgia versus anybody. I've never got a game. So when it came out, and you know, I'm looking down the list of, you know, who I'm gonna have Saturday, and I look up and it says Georgia at Arkansas. I'm like, hold on. I checked it like 3 times. Like, this can't be right. Can't be right. I mean, I went and told my wife everything. So I'm excited about the game, man. I'm excited to call the game. But ultimately, I think this is going to be one of those pivotal moments in the year. Obviously, we've been waiting a long time to get to this, and everybody else has been playing for the last couple of weeks. Even Kirby talked about it. It just felt weird watching other teams play, and now the Dogs will get a chance to go out and play against Arkansas and play against a familiar guy in Sam Pittman on the other side, who was here for a while and did some great things, a lot of good recruits, especially up front with the big boys coming up. So it's exciting. And, you know, with this being our first show, I thought we would have something pretty cool to, like, show everybody. Like, you know, Georgia's wearing some really cool uniforms to start the season out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, Wes? They got some really nice jerseys, some red pants. And I thought we would be able to show it off to everybody who's listening and watching and be like, hey, we got our own jersey. But for some reason, Wes, we did not get our own jersey. Do you know why that happened? Do you know of anybody who could have got us that jersey?
You know, not just the jersey, but the red pants. And we don't have either one of those. And I believe our point man on the show, Mike Bilbo, the top dog over there, running this here outfit, couldn't get us the Dogs' outfits. What's up with that, Mike?
Guys, we ran it by the chairman of the board of directors at Nike, and it was decided that you guys were just too sexy if we had given them to you.
Is that what it is?
And it was gonna really affect, you know, a lot of things. You know, you've heard of the butterfly effect. You know,
right?
Give a guy a jersey. Next thing you know, 2020's been weird enough already. We just did not want to push it over. But I promise you, we are working on getting you some gear. If we get you the red pants, I need to see those on TV, DJ.
Well, I know.
get you the red pants.
I'll wear them, no doubt. I mean, Wes is the one who is really hyped about wearing them, because I know he's going to do his whole show from the waist down. So that'll be cool next week.
Yeah, dual cameras, dual monitors. And we're just going to
wear the lumberjack flannel up top and the red pants down below.
So we did a test run for this show, and it was probably, what was it, June?
People, this is unreal right now. What
July?
Unreal.
Yeah. And the only shirt I had was like a non-Nike shirt, and it was a competitor. It was a competitor, and I wanted to wear some red and black and set the tone a little bit and get in the spirit for some dogs chat with DJ, and the only shirt I had was a flannel. It was like a lumberjack flannel, and I think I made Mike and DJ sweat just looking
at it. Oh, man, it was like 85 degrees outside, and while we were doing this test, the only thing that had my attention was this flannel shirt. So the whole time I'm like, Wes, why in the world in June are you wearing this flannel shirt? And it was the most ridiculous thing I saw. So,
but it was 1,000 degrees outside. It was not 89 degrees. It was 1,000 degrees outside.
I was inside, and I had my sleeves rolled up. And I might have had a couple buttons undone up top. So it was cool.
If you're looking for a holiday gift for Wes, an axe maybe would be good, or some sort of climbing gear.
Oh, man, the fact is
we're pretty sure he's a frustrated lumberjack.
The fact you tried to defend that was even worse. So you might want to move on from the flannel. Don't bring the flannel. I know fall is coming in, but the first time you bring the flannel out, I'm bringing it up. I don't care.
I just wanted to keep, you never know what could get leaked out from these test shots. You know, I didn't want to make Nike mad. And, you know, all we want to do is make Nike happy, of course. And what better way to do that than to have these fresh throwback white jerseys coming up at some point this year?
Well, yeah, despite my management failure, and the dogs are going to wear those this week at Arkansas. What they do you are? Guys think? I mean, DJ,
they're,
we've talked.
Actually going to wear them?
They're actually going to wear them, red pants.
Oh,
and all.
My.
So, you know, DJ, you told me something in our text that all the former players are a little upset.
Yes. Yes, they are. All the former players are looking forward to seeing it, but they wanted to wear them. It's like, I remember when I first left Georgia and you had the black jerseys that came out. You talk about jealous. I mean, I was more jealous than I don't know what, but seeing those black jerseys, now seeing the red pants, dudes are going to be like, man, I would have been so fresh in there. I would have been clean. I would have had a red spat on or something. They had all kind of stuff. So all the former players, you will see it all over Twitter, will be talking about the red pants and the white jersey, which will be clean. So we'll see.
Do you think, like, I don't even know how many of the current players understand, like, those red pants. I don't know if I've heard more fans – beg for those red pants to come back or for Georgia to wear black jerseys again. I mean, they're up there. They're popular.
Yeah, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, it's going to make the big boys look good. It's going to make the, you know, not so good body guys really look the part. So the red pants won't do any wrong come Saturday for sure.
You know, it was interesting. I saw in the game notes, they mentioned those black jerseys that are coming out too with the dog collars on them that are going to celebrate 100 years of a bulldog mascot. And in the notes, I don't know who wrote it up. I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus, but it said they are thought to be worn this season. So that seems like some classic.
No doubt. Hey, I can't.
I got muted for some reason.
Wes, get it together, man.
Mike's muted.
Mike's muted talking right now.
I was trying to mute Rod when Rod came in, and I rooted the wrong.
You muted the incorrect
blankenship.
we got Hot Rod. Don't join us now, man. Hot Rod, what up, man? Welcome to the Shock and Ship podcast, bro. You are on the original first episode of Shock and Ship, which is going to
debut.
Be like bananas, man. So it's going to be crazy. I hope Mike has taken you off mute by now, but we appreciate you joining the show. But before we talk about anything, we were just talking about how all the former players are going to be angry and jealous because they can't wear the red pants that the boys are wearing this weekend. What do you think about the new unis, bro?
Man, I'm in the same boat. I was a little bit salty when the post came out with the new uniforms, the red pants, the black jerseys. I was like, man, what? Just right after I get out of town and they bust them out.
See, there you go. Hot Rod ain't been gone 2 months. They already done started something new.
You got to wear the black jerseys one time, man. You got one shot, and that's it.
Yeah, we got to wear them for It was either Louisiana Monroe or Louisiana Lafayette. I can't remember which one. But, yeah, when we played him in 2016, got to wear the black jerseys one time. I didn't get to wear them for any of the scrimmages, like, because the, you know, one team wears the black jerseys for G-Day, so I didn't even get to wear them then.
Well, at least you wore them, Hot Rod. I never wore them at all. So that's one up on me, man.
I'm sorry. I like the little spike collar that they put on the collar. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, we talking about that too, man. Wes, yeah. Wes, what do you think about the new unis, man? You all about them or what?
Yeah, I'm excited to see the road whites with the red pants this week, and that's the one that just excites me, man. I just love seeing the block numbers come back, like you wore when you were playing, DJ. It's just, I know that you know, the rebrand is what it is, and you got to spice it up a little bit every now and then. But it's good to see the throwback come back. I've been wanting to see that for a little while now. And then on the black jerseys too, like the block numbers with the white outline, it looks very sharp against those black jerseys. And they got the new bulldog on the shoulders, kind of controversial for some different age groups is the new bulldog. But look, it's all about the recruits loving it. It's all about people loving it. I mean, the story starts and ends right there, man. Rod, you know, that is the one thing. When recruits showed up in Rod's era, whether or not they wore the black jerseys on game days, they knew they were going to get a cool picture for Instagram in one when they were visiting on their visits. So that is what it is. And there's nothing like a new uniform, man, in college football. The excitement is just different. It's unique to college football, I think.
Yeah. Well, Hot Rod, man, we appreciate you joining the show, brother. Obviously, we know you're just made the Indianapolis Colts, man. Congratulations on that. I know that's a huge step as a guy who was a seventh-round guy and played in the league for 5 years. I know how hard it is to make a football team. Talk about did you have any inclination that you were going to be the guy and what it felt like once you, you know, didn't get that call to be cut?
Yeah, I really didn't have any idea one way or another. You know, I really had no idea which way they were going to go with their decision. I felt like, you know, we both had kicked really well, and it was, you know, pretty neck and neck the whole way through. You know, one day, you know, one guy has a great day, the next day the other one, you know, flips the script and has a good day himself. So, you know, I felt like it was a really hotly contested battle, and I really had no idea one way or another what was going to happen. And you know, obviously it was a huge blessing and some great news when Coach Bubba, special teams coordinator, called me to let me know that I was going to be the guy.
Man, that's pretty cool, man. Let's go back a little bit, because I want to hear from you. Do you feel as though you are the most popular Georgia player in the last 10 years? Easily.
I think there's still a few other guys out there that have come through in the last decade that, you know, are some pretty big names. I think obviously about Nick and Sony, you know, obviously I think those guys are pretty well known. Todd Gurley, of course, AJ Green, you know, I think there's a lot of guys that are probably still a little bit more popular than me for sure.
All right, you being humble, bro. You being humble, like, dude, when people talk about the specs, they know exactly who they're talking about. They don't have to say a name, or they can just say hot, and they know what's coming next. Like, dude, what was that like? I mean, I've been a quarterback at Georgia, so I know what it feels like to, you know, have a little bit of fame, but the amount of fame that you had was unreal. Like, I don't know how many people really loved kickers like that. Let's be real. I mean, kickers are like the guys who, you know, everybody thinks about, you know, after they make a kick or miss a kick, but you were like a focal point, like, all the time. Like, how did it feel to be, like, a cult hero in Athens?
I don't know. I mean, I try not to think about it too much. you know, people would always, you know, people would always ask, like, you know, how does it feel to, you know, to have some of the biggest cheers when they do the pregame announcements? And I never really knew how to answer it because I try not to pay attention to it. You know, I always felt like, you know, the game is played between the hedges, you know, and so everything that's important is on that field. So you got to try and, you know, block out everything else. But, you know, sometimes you couldn't help but kind of notice, you know, when the stadium kind of gets real loud for you in pregame, and it was, you know, crazy and beyond anything that I could have dreamed of, you know, growing up being in middle school and high school. It was, you know, it was beyond my wildest dreams to have an experience like that. You know, obviously Dog Nation is incredible, you know, and you know, they love their players so much. And so I was just, you know, blessed that they loved me and that they supported me so much over the years.
Rod, sorry, we can have a break here. My internet dropped out. What did I miss, guys? I don't want to double ask a question. I don't have that ESPN internet, bro.
Dang, sorry, man. No, man, we just was going back. I asked Hot Rod about how does it feel to be the most popular player in the last 10 years. He tried to be humble with me, but everybody knows.
Hey, you know what? Here's a story, Rod. So, you know, I'm the guy that basically before every game would edit those starting lineup videos. And every game, Josh Lee, who's director of football ops, for people who don't know him, would give me the starting lineups. And every game, you were the last guy because we knew you were going to get the best round of applause.
Man, that's crazy. I thought it was also kind of cool to be the last guy on senior night. You know, that was really awesome. I know being a recruit, I think I was a recruit and I came on a visit either in my junior or senior year. And I just thought that was so amazing, to have the seniors honored on senior night. You know, cause a lot of those guys, you know, that's their first and last time that they'll have their name announced on the Jumbotron, you know? And so, you know, I always felt like, you know, senior night, you know, especially was a really special night. And, you know, I thought that I was going to be one of the first guys to go because of my last name being so early in the alphabet. And then, you know, they passed out the sheets that had the order that all the guys were going to be in. And it was by number order instead of by alphabet. And I was like, nice. Oh man, did they do that on purpose? I don't know.
but you know, the number I do like though, is the number you rocking now. With the Colts.
Yeah.
I wore three. You're rocking three. It's a good look on you, bro. I'm just saying it's a good look, man. So represent the three, man.
I appreciate it. I think in my first year playing organized football in like fifth or sixth grade, I had number three. And after that, I was never able to get it again until just now. So
and you done came, you know,
definitely. Oh, you actually got to pick it, Rod? The rookie got to pick his number?
No. I did not get to pick it. It's just what they gave me, but, you know, definitely had a little bit of luck there.
Bro, they knew only ballers were three, so it's all good.
how about this right here, guys? How about this? Who's that?
Ooh!
Three. Got another number three.
Oh, yeah. Right there.
Now, we're not going to worry about what level of competitive football that is. well, that's Collins Hill, baby. That's number three. So three number threes. Rod, speaking of your transition to Indianapolis, dude, I read this story the other day about the way you spent the night before cuts. And it, you know, it kind of surprised me, but, you know, we've spoken a few times before and it really didn't. I mean, playing with Legos the night before, man, you're just keeping it real, just being yourself. Did you think at all about the cuts, or were you just having a normal night at home?
Bro, somebody wants some FaceTime right there.
Who is that?
That's my dog. That's Arbor. It's our golden retriever, and I hadn't been home a lot today, so I'm just trying to get his loving in.
Dude was all in your nostrils right there, right? Yeah, we were.
I was at the hotel. I mean, all the rookies, they put us up in a hotel pretty close to the facility, so we would have, you know, easy transport, easy commute to the facility during training camp. And, you know, so I was just sitting in the hotel room that night and was, you know, just trying to do something to take my mind off of it. You know, at that point, you know, after our last day of, you know, team field goals, after that last practice, we had, I think, 2 days off before cuts. And so, you know, there was nothing I could do. You know, there was nothing more that I could do at that point. to change the decision. I had, you know, done everything that I could on the field to try and put my best foot forward every day. And so there was no point in worrying or stressing about it because I had done everything that I could up to that point. So I was just like, let me think of something that I can do to take my mind off of it. And so I figured, you know, might as well, I guess, you know, build a Lego set or two. And, you know, so that's what I ended up doing. It just kind of helped me to clear my mind and just, you know, take me to a good place where I wasn't thinking about it.
About to wrap up for a break really quick, but what did you build, Rod?
I built a Lego Ferrari. Nothing crazy.
Just a Ferrari. Yeah, nothing crazy.
it was small. It was like, I think it was about 200 pieces, 250 pieces. So it wasn't anything crazy.
Bro, you said small, 250 pieces. Come on, Rod. Come on.
I mean, it's not that big. It was probably like the size of this water bottle. Like,
bro, when we come back from break, I want to hear what's the biggest pieces. Lego pieces that you had.
Yeah. Good night. All right.
I got you.
All right, we'll be right back with Rodrigo Blankenship. This is Shock and Ship. Okay, welcome back to Shock and Ship. I'm Wes Blankenship, DJ Shockley on the show with me each and every week talking Georgia Bulldogs athletics with the top guests, people that love the dogs. They may or may not have been dogs themselves, and this week's guest is Rodrigo Blankenship. And we were just talking before the break about the way you spent the night before cuts. And DJ, you know, in the NFL, I mean, that is a crazy night, and Rod is building Legos. And that's what you just have to do, normal things to take your mind off of it. But I also read, Rod, on one of the local Indianapolis stations that your special teams coach with the Colts says that you are one of the most unique players that he's ever coached. Can you just explain to us, you know, if it's different at all? What's the dynamic like in the NFL working with your specialist coach compared to what it was like at Georgia?
You know, I think there's a lot of similarities. You know, I think, you know, think about Coach Bubba and, you know, my most recent special teams coach at Georgia, Coach Fountain. You know, they're in charge of all the special teams, obviously. But for the part of practice where we're not doing our team special teams, you know, they're with the specialists and, you know, we're doing our individual, drill work, you know, so, and there's a lot of similarities there. But you know, it's just, you know, the expectations are just, they're just higher. You know, the expectations are higher than they've ever been, you know, at any point previously, high school, college, you know, now in the NFL, the expectation is, you know, it's just higher. There's just a new standard. And so you have to come to work every day and just be prepared to execute at a higher level than you ever have, so that you can be prepared to go out on Sundays and do the same thing. As far as the unique comment, I think it, you know, is probably just pertaining to my preparation. You know, I have a lot of things that I like to do, and I'm very specific about how I prepare for practice and for games, and so that's probably you know, where that's coming from. You know, just kind of seeing a unique process and unique preparation for practicing and games.
Right, we talk about unique. Let's talk about the uniqueness of you off the field. Everybody's seen you on the field. Everybody see the specs. All they see that, but I hear through the grapevine that my dude Hot Rod is a Marvel fanatic. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Favorite? Absolutely. So who's your favorite Marvel character?
Favorite Marvel character is Iron Man.
Oh, sure. Man, my lookout, he loves some Marvel stuff. So when I told him we were talking about some Marvel stuff, he had a question for you. He wanted to know who would win. I have to tell him who would win in a Marvel fight. If it was your favorite Iron Man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus he mentioned he wanted, because his favorite is like Batman, he loves Superman, he loves all the different characters. He wants mm-hmm. to know who would win in a fight with Iron Man versus Superman.
Oh man. I mean,
so right there.
Yeah, we gotta go.
Yeah, I mean, Superman's got everything, doesn't he?
That's what I'm saying.
He's got super strength. He's got the flight. He's got super speed. He's got the ice breath, heat vision. I mean, he's got everything. I feel like unless Iron Man unless he builds a suit that's got kryptonite in it to kind of weaken him, you know, similar to what Batman tried to do in the Batman versus Superman movie.
Right.
If Iron Man can come up with something along those lines, then I think he's got a fighting chance. But otherwise, I think Superman's probably going to take it, unfortunately.
What made Iron Man your guy, though? I mean, there's like tons of Marvel characters. What made Iron Man be your guy?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it kind of started with the first movie for me. You know, when they started building this, you know, their Marvel movie universe, I think it was back in 2008 was the first movie. You know, that was kind of prime time in my, you know, childhood and being very impressionable and, you know, starting to get really into things. And so that first movie I just thought was super cool. And so that was kind of when I started to dig into all this stuff, you know, just like go on Google and just Google Iron Man and just see what comes up. And you see, you know, that he's a comic book character and he's been around for, you know, however many years, 40, 50, 60 years, he's got all these cool suits. You know, and so I think that's kind of just what pulled me in was after that first movie and just kind of delve in and just start learning about him. Obviously, I think it's, you know, I think it's kind of cool that he doesn't have any powers. You know, he had to create all of his superpowers with his suit. And I think that's something that's really kind of unique to his character. You know, a lot of these other characters, you know, whether it be, you know, they're just an alien species or some kind of science experiment that, you know, gives them their powers. He kind of had to create them on his own. And I've always felt like that was pretty cool.
I feel like that's
hold on, hold on. He's got a power. He's rich.
Yeah.
He's loaded, man.
True.
He's loaded.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how you can build everything.
Rod, I asked some of my friends, I asked some people on Twitter to send some questions in. If we have a few minutes, I might just roll through a couple of these if we have the time,
yeah,
Mike.
Sure.
All right. Well, the first one, speaking of Iron Man, okay, at Ludakit wants to know if he could get your take on whether you were Team Cap or Team Iron Man in Captain America Civil War and what went into your decision on that?
Ooh.
Shocks pumped.
Yeah. Team Cap,
I'm not gonna lie. Rod looks like he's struggling with this.
Team Cap is hard, man.
I mean, I think just when you looked at the lineups from the movies, you know, I feel like Iron Man kind of had the cooler superheroes, you know, because you had Iron Man, you had War Machine, you had Black Panther, you had Spider-Man, you know, I think Vision as well. You know, yeah. So I just think, like, when you look at the lineup, the characters that they had introduced up to that point, I feel like they had cooler heroes on their team. So, you know, part of me was pulling that way for that reason. But ultimately, I think I was more a Team Cap guy just for what they stood for. You know, they had to take some liberties in the movies compared to the comic books. In the comic books, you know, they had, you know, it was like a full-fledged thing. You know, in the movies, it was like a 5-on-5 or 6-on-6. But in the Civil War comic book storyline, it was like every hero versus every other hero. There, you know, there's 50, 60 heroes on each side. You know, basically the entire Marvel comic universe that you had up to that point, save for like the X-Men, because they were just off doing their own thing. But everybody except for the X-Men picked a side, so it was this huge, colossal event. And I think just for like what it stood for in terms of, like, you know, that we're trying to turn superheroes into like government agents or turn them into, you know, armed forces that are controlled by the government, that didn't really sit well with me. So ultimately I feel like I kind of fell on the side of Team Cap, as much as it hurt me, you know.
Oh,
hurt me to
hard.
See him going against Iron Man.
He's devastated, yeah. Right now.
No, I think it added a little bit of depth to those movies. Not to say that they didn't have depth before, but I feel like they got compared sometimes to like Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight, and they're like, oh, these are just a little bit more lighthearted. But Cap did have to take a stand in those movies, and I think it was a good turn for the entire franchise. The next one is from Michael Waldron, and Michael Waldron's actually a UGA Grady grad, like we are, and he wrote the pilot for the new Loki series that's coming out on Disney Plus. I believe you have Disney Plus, and he's also going to be the executive producer. So Michael,
we need to go holler at Mike, man.
So Michael, we might need to get him on the show. Michael says, "Hot Rod, your 55-yarder made Rose Bowl history. What are the 55 things you're most excited to see in the upcoming Loki series? Feel free to mention more than 55. I don't think we have that kind of time, but
five. I'm excited about
Loki. Loki getting his own series, man. What are you excited to see about that character?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think Loki has been a fan favorite in the movies. You know, I think, you know, Tom Hiddleston, I think, was definitely the right choice to play him. I think, you know, he definitely kind of fits that look and fits the billing for what you would expect in terms of Loki, in terms of his looks and, like, his personality. And, you know, Loki's just always kind of hung around in the movies. You know, he's just been that one bad guy, so to speak. You know, he's kind of, you know, tiptoed the line as of Thor Ragnarok. You know, he was definitely kind of, you know, fighting for the good guys. You know, he's always just kind of been around, and I think he's kind of developed into a fan favorite in the movies. And so I was excited when he snuck away in Endgame. You know, they had the mishap when they were trying to do the time heist, and they went back in time to try and get the gem out of the cosmic cube from back in 2012 during the first Avengers movie. And then he ends up teleporting away. And so I think that that was something that really excited me, because it left the door open. Like, hey, you know, like we could still get more Loki. You know, I think obviously there's a little bit of confusion for the casual fan in terms of, like, the timeline and different realities, you know, because Loki supposedly died at the beginning of Infinity War. Mm-hmm. So now this is like a new Loki, so to speak. So I think it kind of gives them a clean slate where they can kind of start fresh, and they don't have to be restricted by his previous shenanigans based on the other movies, because this is a kind of like a new version of Loki that's going to be going off and doing whatever it is he does that we'll be seeing in the show.
Yeah, he's a shapeshifter, man. You can't trust him. You don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, you can't trust him as far as you can throw him.
Shapeshifters are cool. Come on, guys. Don't be like that.
All right, let's get back on track. We're going to talk football now. Shock. Okay? I know lost you at the Cosmic Cube, so
apologize. Yeah. Shapeshifter, I'm all about that, though. Hey, Rod, obviously big game coming up this weekend. First time you get to watch the Dogs as a fan. What are you looking forward to, man? And, you know, obviously everybody wants the Dogs to win for sure, but now that you're looking at it from this side of it, what are your expectations? I know you've been around this team. You know what they're like. You know what's coming back. What are your expectations for Saturday with the Dogs?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing my guy Jake get back out there. You know, Jake Kamard has been an awesome friend, an awesome teammate, you know, for me the last couple of years. And I really think he's going to kind of step into his own and have a big year this year. You know, obviously if the team is punting a lot, that may not necessarily be a good thing, but you know, when he gets his opportunities, I'm looking forward to seeing some really good things out of him. You know, and, you know, I think I'm definitely looking forward to seeing Zamir as well. You know, Zamir has had to go through a lot, since he's been here. You know, he's had a lot of recovery and just a lot of rehab to do to earn this opportunity. And I think he showed last year that, you know, he's got what it takes to be a stud for this team. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing Zamir do some special things. And, you know, obviously just kind of looking forward to seeing the whole team just, you know, figure out who they're going to be this year and hopefully dominate in every phase of the game.
Hey, Wes, I got one more question to ask Hot Rod here. Obviously, you won many games for Kirby Smart. He is, like, indebted to you for a long time. I know all the fans want to know, who is playing damn quarterback
we're going to ask you that, man.
Who's playing quarterback? Who is starting, Hot Rod? I know you talked to Kirby, you called him. I know he told you, so Just go ahead and put everybody out of their suspense and tell us who's starting quarterback on Saturday.
Do you see what Shock is doing? He's trying to divert the inevitable question that's coming up at the end of the episode, Rod. Classic tactic.
Honestly, your guess is as good as mine. I really have no idea, but, you know, I trust that, you know, it's going to be the guy that's the most prepared for the job. You know, healthy competition, and the competition is going to breed success, and it's going to breed the best guy. You know, so I trust that whoever steps out there is the guy that the team trusts is going to be the best man to go ahead and ball out and do it.
Spoken like a true coach on the field, man.
This guy's media ready right here, man.
Rod, you know, this isn't a MCU related tweet, but I did look up your name in a couple tweets over the last week to NFL fans' reaction to seeing you. And my favorite one says, this is from ND Chief 12. So I imagine he's up in your neck of the woods now, Notre Dame, I'm guessing. But he says, I love that Rodrigo Blankenship, the spectacled pirate, is kicking all your points. So you're fitting in right away, man. Has there been a welcome to the NFL moment for you that, you know, you'll always look back and say, that was when it hit me that I made it to the league?
You got that first, when you got that first direct deposit, I know that's what it was. Yeah, you see that smile on his face? That first good direct deposit, that's when he lets you know you made it.
Graduating from Lego Ferraris, man.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. I got to collect a few more before I can think about that. I'm just trying to find a place to rent first, so one step at a time. I mean, honestly, I think, you know, this past weekend was probably that moment for me. The first weekend we played in Jacksonville, and it kind of still felt a little bit like I was playing for Georgia, because we had played against the Gators in that same stadium the last 4 years, and even in my redshirt year we went to the Tax Slayer Bowl, and so I still went to that stadium, you know, for that bowl game. So no, this is going on 6 years that I've been in that stadium, and so it's still, you know, still kind of was some blurred lines there. But I think this past weekend, you know, playing in Lucas Oil Stadium, playing at home, playing somewhere that I had never played in a game before, you know, I think that kind of helped to kind of, you know, it kind of hit me a little bit more this past weekend, like, you know, that this is the next step, and, you know, this is a new part of the journey for me.
That's awesome, man. Well, that's great, Rod. Shock, you got anything else, man, before we wrap up?
Yeah, man, I just want to say Hot Rod is a dude that played at Georgia. I understand the importance of kickers. We had some good kickers during my time. As a guy who's been watching the Dogs for a while, man, I appreciate you and all you did for the Dog Nation. I know everybody loves you, man, but it's always cool to have the chance to talk to guys who've been in that arena and done some good things. So, man, I wish you continued success going forward with the Colts, brother, and Superman all the way.
Rod,
I appreciate it.
Best of luck in Indy, man. Team cap all the way. Continue to make us Blankenships proud, and always, you know, get somebody to spell check those jerseys, because that's a lot of letters, and I don't want you going out there underrepresented with the Blankenship name on the back of your jersey, man. Great to talk to you as always. And, keep it going, man. Keep chopping wood, as Kirby would say.
Absolutely. Thank y'all so much for having me. This has been a blast.
You got it, man.
Shock and Chips, baby.
All right. That's Shock and Chip. DJ, you are going to Fayetteville, man. Some people say Fayetteville, and some people say Fayetteville. But whatever, however you say it, that's where you're going. What are you looking forward to this weekend, man? You're going on an SEC road trip, man. A lot of people didn't even know this was going to happen a few months ago.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the game, man. It's going to be, I think, a pretty good atmosphere. I know they're going to have some people there and all that, but I'm just excited to be in a stadium, excited to have some ball, and of course, be able to call a Georgia game is probably been a dream since I've started calling games. So it's going to be fun to be there. Obviously, there are a lot of things going on in the game. We talked about the quarterback position. A lot of guys from Georgia getting some some valuable playing time, some starting time. I mean, we talked about Zamir. We heard that. We saw George take off Pickens at the end of the year last year. Who's going to be that next receiver guy? Is it Landers? Is it Demetri Robinson? I mean, we got a lot of guys who are stepping into some big-time roles. Defense was a top-five defense last year. Arkansas has some really big receivers on the outside. They got a new offensive coordinator in Kendall Browse who wants to throw it around all over the yard. As a quarterback in Felipe Franks, who Georgia knows really well from, you know, playing in the Georgia-Florida game. So there are a lot of different storylines in this ball game that's going to be fun to watch. And I'm excited to be on the call and see what happens in this ball game.
Yeah. Ola, Sam Pittman, welcome to the SEC, man. He said in the offseason that he doesn't know what he did to deserve this schedule, but he's starting it off with the Dogs, and DJ will be there to call it, and I'm sure everyone listening has an appointment set aside to watch this game, man. Exciting to see the Dogs get back and wear those throwbacks as well that I can't wait to wear for our next episode, which we'll have another exciting guest coming up next week. So don't miss Shock and Ship. Subscribe, tell your friends about it, and follow along. Going to be a fun ride this season and every week talking Georgia sports. DJ, appreciate it, man. We'll catch you next week.
Hello.
Thanks for listening to the Georgia Bulldogs podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Historic game rewinds and original programming from the Bulldogs. Make sure you comment, subscribe, and rate this programming to continue to receive the best in Bulldogs content. Go Dogs!